Welcome to the Humanist Union of Madison monthly meeting. And today we're going to be talking about a subject dear to my heart, low power radio. What can it do for humanists and free thinkers? And what can it do for other voices that have very little representation on the public airwaves in our country at this time? I'm going to pass around the schedule that our station has. For those of you who don't know, Barbara and I have a radio station in our garage as a temporary location until we get a better one. And it's been there for more than 5 years now. And it's one of two low-power radio stations in the Madison area, the other one being on the edge of Madison on the east side in Monona. Being a religious station, the Lake City Church, I think. And our station was the only license available back in 2001 for a low power, that means up to 100 watts radio station. And there were multiple groups applying for it, and we ended up with two coalitions agreeing to share the license, one Christian and one secular nonprofit organizations. And those groups have been operating under the names Citywide and Soulwide because the station's call letters are WIDE. Let me mention what you'll see on this weekly program schedule. Soulwide does nothing but present music from a Christian perspective, so they have no talk shows, and they're broadcasting from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. most days and all day on Sunday. And all the things that you will see on that schedule with names are Citywide programs, either music or talk shows. About a quarter of our 12 hours a day are devoted to talk shows. And Humanism is included in Humanism Today is the name of a program on Mondays, which uses the recordings from the Humanist Union of Madison, such as the one we're making today, and podcasts from the Humanist Hour of the American Humanist Association. Each of those used to be once a month. Now, recently, the American Humanist Association has been producing their podcasts weekly. So we have more than enough to broadcast each Monday. And those are broadcasts at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. In the Free Thought area, we have Free Thinkers Hour on Saturdays and Free Thought Radio. As you may know, Free Thought Radio is the program, weekly program of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and I have permission to rebroadcast their programs after they're posted on their website. They broadcast them on commercial stations, and then they post the podcast without the commercials on their website, so we end up with about 42 minutes each week of commercial-free commentary from Free Thought Radio. And the Free Thinkers Hour, we get programs from the Center for Inquiry, two different podcasts, the Center Stage and the Point of Inquiry, and the annual convention of the Freedom From Religion Foundation has talks as well that are posted on our website, and I use many of those. And also the Free Thought Festivals. We've had now 3 years in a row Free Thought Festivals on the University of Wisconsin campus. And those programs are recorded. And when I get the recordings of those, I use them in the Free Thought Hour on Saturdays on the radio station. So any questions about those two particular topic areas? Or any suggestions as what else might be included under humanism or free thought?
I was wondering how much airtime you need to fill and whether you're able to fill it.
Well, since a quarter of it is talk shows and the rest music, there's no problem filling the time, and the station is on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You fill 24 hours on
the air? Right. We do not have any live program, no live station programs, and everything is broadcast by the computer in our garage. I just programmed the computer, and the computer actually selects the music that's played at any particular time. I just have a separate folder for different types of music, and then let the computer randomly select from the songs.
And when the time's up, it just shuts it off in the middle of the piece.
Well, yes, the computer keeps track of what it has randomly selected, and it goes through everything in a folder before it goes back to start over again. But we have like 60,000 songs in our music library. We don't use them all, but...
But how does it know enough to finish a song? Yeah.
It finishes a song unless there's something set to start immediately, and occasionally, like when we transfer from Citywide to Soulwide at 10 p.m., that happens immediately, and there's a setting where you can click in the software to make that transition. So it'll fade out whatever's playing at 10 p.m. and go into the announcement about the station and Soulwide, that sort of thing.
Computer's your partner.
Each partner pays 50% of the cost for the station. Now, Soulwide has applied for and gotten their own license for their own station. They always wanted to have their own station. That's the way they started out. And this happened as a result of the most recent law, the Local Community Radio Act, which President Obama signed in January of 2011, which opened up the opportunity for many more low-power radio stations. And in fact, in Madison, the greater Madison area, the five different groups have applied for and received construction permits for new low-power radio stations between West Madison and Sun Prairie. So it remains to be seen whether they will all get off the ground. Each one was given 18 months, and that will be ending next summer, July and August. It takes about $10,000 to get the hardware to start a station, $10,000 to $15,000. Our station had a couple of grants, and as some of you know, the First Unitarian Society applied for one of these licenses, and as partners of the Madison Institute, they are planning a station. And they had someone with the Madison Institute came up with $10,000 to get them started, and now they're going to the congregation saying, we can get by on as little as $5,000 a year, will you put it in your budget? So if they get that, they'll be the best funded, by far the low power station in the area, I imagine, although I don't know much about the religious station on the edge of Monona, which is broadcasting for 6 years now, sponsored by a fundamentalist church.
How much is WIDE's annual budget?
Well, we probably have something under $2,000. The royalty fees for music is on a flat rate basis, and that's between $700 and $800 a year. The power to run the equipment and the internet expense is a bit less than that, although since it's in our garage, we're splitting the internet costs with the station, and it would be more when they have to, if they have to pay for their own internet connection. We do not stream online like many radio stations do, including some low power stations. The First Unitarian station plans to stream online, which will be another at least $600 a year, and you have to, depending on how many people hook up and listen to the songs you're playing, there's a per connection cost, and that can get much more expensive.
How are you, your service area, can you give a guess, a typical neighborhood low power station, how many miles it might?
With a good tower location and flat terrain, you can get about 3.5 miles. And the FCC considers that to be your area. And if you decide to move your station more than 3.5 miles from where they approved it, then it's a major modification of that station. If it's within that area, then it's a minor modification.
So it's 3.5 miles from your garage?
No, I'm not saying that we reach that far.
Oh.
I'm saying if you have a good tower location, and flat terrain. Unfortunately,
in North Dakota, that works.
Or if you're on the top of a hill. We're halfway up a hill, and the tower is not tall enough. It doesn't even reach above the treetops, and we only reach houses maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles away. You can get the station on a car radio farther away because you don't have the penetrating, we don't have the penetrating power to get into a building very well. But I've heard the station in Governor Nelson State Park on the other side of the lake. But if I moved the car a few feet, I couldn't get it.
The FCC is very, I'm reading into it, of course, competition. You have to have, they only give a license. They wouldn't give a first unitarian license necessarily if they competed with Winona or with Citywide.
Right. They have to look at the frequency that you are applying for and decide whether it will conflict with either another low-power station or with a full-power station or with a translator station. Now, a translator station is what full-power stations often use to provide additional range, and maybe a 100-watt translator. And a lot of religious groups have applied for translator stations, and WERN, as you may know, you can hear the Ideas radio network that comes over WHA AM, also on FM, from one of their translator stations in the Madison area. They have much smaller range.
So what's the difference between Hightower radio and Wider Horizons, that as opposed to the rest of them?
Okay, you can ask about any of those stations. Programs that I have on there. Hightower Radio is Jim Hightower's 2 minutes.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Jim Hightower.
Okay.
And he has a daily 2 minute commentary program. So I air that.
And Wider Horizons?
Wider Horizons is the name I give for the series of programs that I broadcast first thing in the morning when we come on and at 5 p.m. And the reason I chose that was that I figured that after 12 straight hours of music from a Christian perspective, it was a good time for something with a broader point of view.
Yeah.
So I used the station name, Wider Horizons. And so I have Humanism Today as the first Wider Horizons program. On Tuesdays, it's something that comes from Eau Claire. There's a Quaker in Eau Claire who puts out two different programs. Song of the Soul and Spirit in Action, and I have one of those on Tuesdays.
And that's one of the ones that the grannies were on.
What?
Right.
That's what one of those is, the ones that they called us and interviewed a couple of the raging grannies.
But I mean, I'm just out of luck where I live. I can't get anything.
Right. Unless you go online. All the programs, all the talk shows are available online one way or another. It's just that we don't stream them live. So if you go to the website and you click on the link for one of the programs, you can get to that website that lets you listen to that program online.
So you go on the website under that name that you
under
have
the radio station's website, you can get to it at widelp.org, like the word wide with LP for low power, .org. Low power stations are asked by the FCC to use their call letters with LP at the end for low power.
Do you know how many listeners you have? Or any idea?
A handful. We have very little feedback from listeners in the 5 years that we've been on the air.
Give us that call number again.
The URL is widelp.org.
I did have one call from a guy who was listening and said there was a word in one of those songs that you better take out.
Right. Someone's listening, that's it.
The First Unitarian Society should be, quote, the voice of reason and conscience in Dane County.
Huh. The only one?
That's what they have on their website about the case for radio. And it's not just radio, but the website and their podcasts and all this that they want to integrate. They have videos on their website, audio podcasts, their newsletter, of course, and they have a blog and Facebook and Twitter posts as well, and webcasts of their services. And that's one of the things they want to have on their radio station is broadcasts of First Unitarian Society services. Now, as you may know, we record our programs here at Prairie, and they're edited for the speaker-only part and posted on our website, and those are usually also broadcast on this low-power radio station on Wednesdays, which is, I call Voices for Religious Pluralism. So that has Prairie services, it has services from the Ethical Society of St. Louis, and other sources as well. And then Thursdays when we have our Free Thought Radio, and Fridays is what used to be called Skeptically Speaking, and now it's Science for the People, and that comes from Edmonton, Alberta.
What happened to that sheet being passed around? Have you guys finished with it?
Also on the First Unitarian website, they talk about their philosophy in promoting the station. We're here to shed light, not heat. We're the folks who seek truth and wisdom, not the ones who claim to own it. Driven by curiosity, we won't decide our conclusions before the discussion like other talk shows and news programs. Made up of policy wonks, engaged progressive, technical weeks, caring parents, and concerned educators, and idealistic activists, we vision a more sustainable, just, humane, and livable future. Well, these are all things we'd like to do on our radio station, too. They also mentioned that, in talking about their $5,000 a year budget, they might also decide to either dissolve the station or sell it. So I don't know if they, that's probably if they don't get a good response on their budget request. They have made a commitment to program 8 hours of local programming a day. That's one of the things that the FCC asks about. Will you pledge to do this? And then you get preference over a station that didn't pledge to do that. That's not an easy thing to do. And they also pledged to have a publicly available studio that was open at least 20 hours a week. Now, they have permission to use a studio in the building that contains the fountain on State Street. That's 122 State Street. It's a restaurant owned by Harold Langhammer, who also lets groups like Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice have their office there. And progressive meetings are held there. And he has a studio in the building which has been used for production of some radio shows. I guess Sly in the Morning did his programs there when he first got removed from radio in Madison and got a gig in an out-of-town station. And he will let the station put a tower on the roof of his building, so that'll get it up fairly high in the central part of Madison. So they're the best located station if they get that one going of any of the OPAR stations.
How does it become a neighborhood station then if it's broadcast from downtown State Street?
They're saying that they hope to be able to reach all the way from east down to west down.
So it's not really a neighborhood station then, it's a regular station.
Well, the farther you are away, the harder it is to get on your radio.
Well, it seemed to me, if they want to, obviously they want to be influenced all of Madison, but that interrupt your work, your other church's work? I mean, it would take over, and then everybody would listen to them, and they wouldn't listen to you guys. I don't think that's kind of counterproductive to my idea. I was excited about low power, okay, this neighborhood, but now you can say the heck with that, and
stomp all
so,
over.
Well,
I guess I'm conflicted about their motives.
Right.
Well, counterproductive to my thinking of what low power radio is, it's to provide a voice for various neighborhoods. And now it's a good voice, a UU voice, I can't quibble with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they want to, take over what you guys are doing. You're a UU voice, you're a pluralistic voice, and it's going to get drowned out perhaps.
Well, they not only want to reach most of Madison, they want to reach the world through the internet. And they say that on their website. And they've got this hundreds of hours of podcasts. I think they can use some of that and so on. But there's always a possibility of doing more local programming than you get from WORT, which is a great community station, but it's more than the whole city. It covers Dane County. And what WIDE hopes to do is move to the Hilldale area, which is something that we've gotten approval from the FCC to do, but we haven't got a roof to put our tower on yet, so we're still looking for that. If we do get to move to that area, then we'll be able to reach the campus area. And another low-power station has construction approval from at the Luzier Center on the far west side. Some of you know Steve Blank. He is a volunteer at the Luzier Center, which is near Memorial High School. And he's going to be helping them set up their programming. He's also present on the board of the WIDE, along with Mary Summers and me and a couple of other people. So if we get our station moved to the Hilldale area, then we'll have three stations going from far west to central Madison, and we'll overlap some, but we'll be able to cover that part of the, at least the western part of Madison. And there's no reason why we can't share programming. What I'd like to see is a low-power radio cooperative set up, starting with those three stations and agreeing to share programs. And we can always schedule them at different times so that if you can't get it on one station at one time, you can tune in for that program at a different time on the other station if you happen to be lucky enough to hear more than one of the stations.
Now, are the frequencies far enough apart that they won't conflict with one another?
Yes, those are all different frequencies. The reason that the five applicants from the Madison area all got approved was that each one was applying for a different frequency. And I can read the frequencies off for you. The Luzier Center would be 99.5. The city of Monona will have a station at 98.7, which is going to be using Monona Grove High School studio. First Unitarian will be at 102.9. The Sun Prairie station will be at 103.5, and the current group, Soulwide Partner, will have a station in Monona at 103.7. And these have all been approved as being far enough away from existing frequencies of other stations. Low-power stations they fit into the spaces on your FM dial because they have a limited range. We do have a station in Milwaukee at the same frequency that we use, 99.1, and that makes it hard for us to reach beyond the near west side. And there's some question of whether they're intruding into our broadcast space legally or not. I mean, how many customers in Madison are going to be listening to commercials on this commercial station in Milwaukee? But once we get our tower up to a decent height, we'll see whether we can reach beyond the center of Madison.
So Bob, how did the ordinary individual, they just find out about low power just flipping through the FM dial?
That's one way. A good question is, how do you publicize this?
I know FMRM, they've mentioned it from time to time, but other than that, yeah.
Right. One thing I'd like to see our station do, if we can get to the Hilldale area and get up on a high roof and start broadcasting, is seeking volunteers for the other stations, because we can broadcast their mission statement and say who to contact and what they're planning to do with their station. And that's something that's really needed, because it's going to take a lot of volunteers to get five different stations going.
You didn't get that nice article in the Isthmus you have over there.
Right, over on that table is the article in the cover story in the Isthmus from 2011, which is about community radio and particularly about our station. And I was interviewed for that, so if you didn't see it back in 2011, take a look later.
But does Isthmus have a sort of in their calendar a listing of low-power radio stations? Would they be interested?
It's a good question. I don't know whether they would add to their guide particular programs.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't cost them much of anything to put it on their internet website.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's what we do with the Humanist Union meetings. I put an announcement in the guide on Isthmus. And if I get it in early enough, it shows up when you search for Humanist.
But do you people envision anything beyond just kind of a, almost like a hobby kind of thing, a local hobby kind of thing? Do you envision reaching any wider audience for any reason and with anything that competes with newspapers or even the Isthmus or something like that?
Well, we can be more local than anybody else because we're so local, but we can also give points of view that just aren't making it on mainstream radio. For example, one of the programs I think is most valuable is called Counterspin, and it's a nationally produced podcast by the group called Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, in which their people look at what the mainstream media has been saying about top stories and then looking behind those stories and getting other perspectives. And even public radio and TV are pretty much following the mainstream line when it comes to major stories and not covering this sort of thing. Now, Counterspin used to be covered on broadcast on WORT, and they were dropped for reasons I never heard. But
did they deal with global warming?
That's one of the things that we cover and on our science programming and progressive programming. We've had David Suzuki, for example, has been included in podcasts. One of the most recent additions to our program is Moyers and Company. They have a 22-minute podcast produced every week, and David Suzuki was one of the people interviewed 2 weeks in a row.
Another topic occurs. I'm a broken record on it, everybody knows, but its population has a growth as a factor in a lot of the really important things that are happening, and they're rarely mentioned either in print or on radio. They just skip over it. I often go, sometimes go to my computer and go on the web and just Google information on population, and it's right there. So within 5-10 minutes, I've got a nice printout of all the kinds of data that they should be including in their reports.
Right. There's a great wealth of information available on the internet, and it doesn't show up much in mainstream radio, but it's available to stations like ours, and I have gotten permission to broadcast podcasts from a wide range of groups, including three different groups in Australia, one in Canada, that's where the Science for the People comes from, Alabama, places around. One of the programs is books and writers, because often a podcast will be produced by interviewing the writer of a new book. And some of the topics are like mentioned here. We do have a program sharing agreement with WORT, so we can use any of their locally produced programs on our station, and they can use anything that we produce, if we ever do, on their station. So I often use a public affair, and sometimes they have an author interviewed on various progressive topics.
You can download the flows from the internet and podcasting.
Right. They have an archive section on their website where the public affair programs are loaded, made available to the public, and I download them edit out the references to WORT and broadcast them.
That's a service we need.
Yeah. It's mentioned as a neighborhood thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are any efforts made to involve like neighborhoods or organizations? You know, maybe
right.
a community calendar, or have the local representatives have and city council people, alders, I guess you call them here, don't you? Do time on air about issues even more local than the local news.
I have tried to make the
local PTA is having a carnival, you know, or you know, a bake sale or whatever. We're on this next door website that shares neighborhood wide, and it's very useful. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
About what's going on and police reports.
Right.
The local police station puts out reports, you know, and it's kind of nice to know. You better lock your car up for a while until they find out whoever it is going around the neighborhood taking spare change and GPSs out of your car.
Yes, I do. Let me answer that, Mayor Galen. We do have a program called Neighborhood News at Noon on Saturdays, and I'm on the neighborhood listserv in the Orchard Ridge neighborhood. And sometimes I will pick up on things that I can make announcements for, including pie sales at the local library to raise money for the Friends of the Meadow Ridge Library. Currently on Saturdays, we're broadcasting hard hat tours that they are having on three different occasions for people to see progress on the new Meadow Ridge Library, which is under construction now, and they're trying to raise money for that. We also have neighborhood meetings occasionally. For instance, when one of our neighbors down Hammersley Road was shot and killed by police after his wife called 911 and he was having mental problems and wandering around with a knife, and he approached the police with his knife and was shot and killed. Well, there was a neighborhood meeting a few months later to talk to the neighborhood about this situation and answer questions. I recorded that and broadcast it on this time slot on Saturdays. And I've also broadcast public meetings about the Verona Road and exchange construction and things like that. So certainly that's available. There hasn't been much community engagement from Orchard Ridge in terms of wanting to do things on the station.
Mm-hmm.
I've used that neighborhood listserv to not announce the station. I got I wrote an article for the Neighborhood Association newsletter. I held a spring listener party to try and bring in listeners from the neighborhood. And two people came who lived right across the street.
Okay.
And now one of them is going to be on the board. Well, although you did have one of the neighbors asked you the other day if you brought your microphone or something to the
at the 4th of July picnic, right?
Yeah, which I thought was cute.
So I have been seen recording neighborhood events
at
the neighborhood center.
People know. As the president, if he wants something on, he knows who to call, the president of the Neighborhood Association.
Right. People don't listen to radio as much as they used to, I think. And a lot of people are just in the habit of tuning in public radio, and that's the only thing they listen to. So if we do get moved to the Hilldale area, I think we'll need a publicity campaign to spread the word about our existence in that area, and I have already contacted somebody who knows about the Neighborhood Association in that area to spread the word if and when we get to move to that area.
Of course, you also record local lectures and things like that at the university
I have recorded talks at the university.
So are there limitations on commercial?
Yeah, this
is advertising.
All low power stations are by FCC license non-commercial.
Okay.
So we have no commercials and we have no income from the commercials. So it's a volunteer operated, 100% volunteer operated station.
Okay.
So your budget doesn't include any compensation for you doing all that?
No. It's always been 100% volunteer.
Okay.
We get our electricity paid for.
Right, the expenses are covered, that's it.
Did you get money from non-profit organizations?
Yeah, the Madison, what was it, the foundation. If you go to the website, you'll see in the upper left-hand corner, the Madison Community Foundation or whatever it was, they've actually become part of a larger group now, but that's where our initial startup grants came from.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we've been operating on our startup grant for almost 6 years. Although that, you know, that only goes to our half. The Soul Wide has religious donations from their church.
If you decide to retire from doing this, is there any succession plan?
Well, first we need to move somewhere where people can hear us, and then we can, then we can get more volunteers involved. Some of these low-power stations are quite successful. For example, in Eau Claire, there's an environmental group that used to be called Northern Thunder, and they got a license to get their station going, and they got a permission to put it on the roof right in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Eau Claire, and they have a successful station going with a lot of volunteers involved.
I'm surprised Sierra Club wouldn't do something like that.
Well, here in Madison we have WORT and a lot, and WERN and WHA, so there's a lot of competition for the radio listening audience. And basically, if you can only reach with a mile radius in Southwest Madison, you're not going to have a lot of listeners.
That's true. They do a lot with volunteers, though. People volunteering for all kinds of things.
Well, basically, two of us are running the station, so we're not using other volunteers. That's what we've been doing.
So you're just playing clothes on Sunday? Nothing on Sunday?
The other station.
Nothing what?
Nothing on Sunday.
Right, because Soul Wide has all day on Sunday. Each of the two partners has a 36-hour block of time, as we divide it up 50-50, and ours lets us broadcast all night, Friday night and Saturday morning, and theirs lets them broadcast all day on Sunday. So I really like to get some of that Sunday time. And once they have their own station, hopefully they will no longer be using that, and we will be able to broadcast them all weekend.
Can I ask, Bob, what motivated you to start this thing and to continue?
Well, I wasn't, I got informed about it when Leah Zeldin came here to Prairie and gave a talk. And she talked about this station that she was working on, and getting it started, and it sounded interesting. And I was, you know, about the time I was retiring, it became a retirement career for me. If you go to our website and click on About Us, you'll find a history link that talks about how the station developed, and. At the bottom of that page is a link to history of low power FM, and there's a long 18-page article about how low power radio goes back to the 1940s, when there was something called Class D, which the FCC would license, and that was stations of 10 watts or so, and they got to increase it to 100 watts, and the idea was non-commercial educational radio, and they were the ones on the lower end of the dial. And all around the country, the FCC is a federal communications commission, so college campuses around the country had some of these low power stations. And then as radio developed and became more commercial, the National Association of Broadcasters became more jealous of the radio dial space they had, and they took steps that tended to push out these low-power educational stations, and the Class D category went by the wayside, and things happened in Congress. You can read in this article about the history of low-power FM in the country through 2011. all the different things, attempts to get it restarted, and the National Association of Broadcasters, including public radio, were saying, well, this is going to disrupt our listening audience, is going to infringe on our frequencies and this sort of thing. And so they, Congress held up the promotion of low-power radio and put together a study which cost $2.2 million. And the study ended up showing, well, it's really not that bad, folks. You can let lots more stations in. And that led to the passage eventually of the Local Community Radio Act 2011, which then led to opening up of applications 2 years later, October 2013, to a lot more stations. And so many stations are in the process now of, they're within their 18 months from the FCC that they have to construct their station and get online, or rather to begin test broadcasting.
So the little guys won.
Pardon?
The little guys won.
Right. Eventually we did get a chance to put a lot more stations on the air.
So is anybody aware? Do the Boy Scouts have a radio badge? I can just see this would be something Eagle Scouts might really glom onto.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
Yeah.
We were hoping that
if they don't have one, they'll make one.
Yeah, we were hoping that the local Boys and Girls Club or the neighborhood center would encourage kids to create programs that could then be broadcast. Even if it was just local, I mean, if they're just local kids, they could hear it on the radio. We thought that would be cool.
Yeah, it would be valuable. That's why I'm thinking, you know, a Boy Scout could really carry that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Goodman Center could use something like that.
I bet there is a radio badge of some sort. That'd be an interesting thing to explore.
One of the programs I did broadcast for a while was from the University of Arizona State University, where a professor was creating a podcast called Ask a Biologist, aimed at high school and younger kids. And I broadcast those, and I informed the science teachers at the local school, Toki Middle School, about it to see if they would get their students tuning in. I never got a response from either of the two science teachers.
Well, you did broadcast the local neighborhood center has a writing program.
Oh.
And actually a couple of Prairie people are in that writing program, and then
the memoir thing.
And so then they do a public reading. Is that once a year? And so then he was at that noon hour, was doing one different author each time. Mm-hmm. That was fun to listen to, because I knew some of the people who are reading, which is what makes local radio fun, is actually knowing the people involved some of the time.
Right, and that writing group is still going. It's called Meadowood Life Story Writers Group. They meet on Mondays at the Neighborhood Center, and they have writing exercises, and they create their own original stories. And a couple of times I've recorded sessions at the Sequoia Branch Library where they're given 6 minutes to read a short story. And then I broadcast those on Saturdays at noon when there's no neighborhood news at noon to report. Another thing I did was to record short drama pieces by a group called Dreamscast, which was performed at a shop in the Westgate Shopping Center just across the road from us, readings from Shakespeare and Mark Twain, which are in the public domain, so I got permission to record and broadcast those, and that's what's happening now on Saturdays at noon when there's no news.
You've got a couple of things that are mentioning Misha. So Misha's music is on?
Yeah, the different types of music. Each evening, week, Monday through Saturday, I have a genre hour, so blues, one night, jazz, world. Madison Mix is music created by people who have lived and recorded in Madison. Friday Folk, Saturday Soul. And also, I've had various contributors from family members, so I have Ian's music on Tuesday evenings and Robin's on Wednesday evenings and their cousin Dan's on Thursday evenings. And if you have music you'd like made available to the public, let me know.
But you could do, we were talking about one of the programs I did for WIT Access Hour, Palestinian poetry and music, which is still and always up to date and really should be heard, because it talks a lot about the bitterness in the poetry and fantastic music.
Yeah, if you've got it on a CD, lend me the CD, you know.
Well, I do. I mean, you could get it from WRT. I mean, you say you're using their programs.
Oh, Access Hour. I should be able to...
Yeah, I was on there at Access Hour for a whole hour, and it was, you know... Mm-hmm. So you could get a much better quality thing from them, I think.
Yeah.
I have a little, you know, CD somewhere.
Right.
That would be something that would be interesting.
Do you remember the date?
Uh-huh.
You remember the date of the Access Hour?
Yeah, it was late in December. I can find it. But it was several years ago.
Oh, but they don't keep things on their website for several years.
Oh,
everything is taken down.
Don't they do them in the archives?
They probably have it at the station. I could ask Norm Stockwell.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise I can go through all my stuff, but I mean that is something that unfortunately is still very up to date, you know, and this is powerful poetry and the music is fabulous.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that sort of thing.
I did just a little bit of commentary to introduce this stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got this from a guy who's married, who was a conductor, Paul Flight. He was a conductor for the early music festival, and he lived in Berkeley, and his wife was Palestinian, and they produced this record, and we talked about it, and so he gave me one of his recordings. Mm-hmm. I'll try to look for it.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Any other suggestions?
When we had Music Madison here, those young men that did the spoken word poetry, I got the impression that that's some kind of group, and it's an ongoing thing. The one anyway was just, he blew me away. He was just really incredible, wasn't he? That would make good radio, I think.
I was sorry I was away, so I couldn't be here to record.
Mary would have the contact information for that group.
As far as you know, nobody recorded
it. I don't think so. We should have. I mean, we had the sound system going, didn't we? I guess all we had to do was turn on the computer, wasn't it?
It was outside.
Would it have made a difference if we were outside? The computer wouldn't have worked?
Low power radio is low tech, so we...
Yeah, well, I don't know. But we were lucky to get the speakers going. But anyway, Mary, I'll bring it up to her to suggest it, because... That's an interesting genre that the young people are picking up on.
Well, I guess we're about ready to conclude. Any other comments or questions? If not, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can do it.